Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you.
Stunt or stupid?
It is time to find out how well I know the music. It's AJ, and this is Stunt or Stupid. Today, it's Musical Clothespin Chaos. Now, I have to identify the artist or title of a song. And if I get it right, cool. If I don't, I place a clothespin on the body part of your choice.
It's a song title.
Right. Song title.
Yeah. All right. 203-882-9757. You call, and you get to pick the spot where the clothespin's going to go on AJ's body.
Right.
Okay? So 203-882-9757. We'll go around the room until we have some tribe members lined up. AJ, these are songs from 2010.
Oh, Lord.
Okay?
Okay.
So...
You've definitely heard this one before.
I have, huh?
Yeah.
Can you play more?
What is? I have no idea.
What the hell is that?
Pumped Up Kicks.
Pumped Up Kicks.
Yeah,
that's not my truck right now.
Who does Pumped Up Kicks?
Great.
All right, all the young kids with the pump. Kicks, you guys. Come on, you don't know that?
No, I don't. No, no, wow. No, no. I listen to adult music.
So, 13 years old.
Right.
Anthony and Branford.
I'm going to go with the nose in between the two nostrils.
In between.
Oh, I love this.
You went tribal.
No, in between.
In between?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the middle.
Oh. Oh.
Oh.
It's deep.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh.
That's knuckle deep.
Oh, that hurts. Hey.
Does that make your eyes want to water?
Yeah.
What?
Not yet.
Okay.
You are standing up straighter. I did notice that.
Oh, that hurts.
Well, that did get you to stand up straight.
Good luck with the rest of your day, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, dude.
Gonna be
good luck with the rest of your day.
Not going to be here all day, though.
Okay, you ready? Next
song? Okay, next, please. Okay. Yes, hurry up.
Come on.
Maybe I need some rehab.
This Hollaback Girl?
Oh, my God.
No. Boom.
Not even close.
Sorry. I listen to adult music. Sorry. What is this?
Your Love Is My Drug.
Oh, yes.
You don't know the work of Kesha?
What the hell is Kesha? Isn't that a breakfast cereal?
Yes.
Phil, where would you like this clothespin to go?
Do we? Is it only currently exposed skin, or can we?
Why? Where you want to go with it?
I would like you to place it where your missing belly button is.
How? What's it going to grip onto?
I want to see what happens.
What's going to? There's nothing to grip onto. Yeah.
All right, we'll pass on that spot.
Yeah, there's not. It's just flat skin.
All right, put it in between your fingers, your first finger and your middle finger. That little skin right there.
The webbing.
Yeah.
Hey. Hi. It's like getting attacked by crabs. You know, the crabs you've seen are the ones on the toilet seat. I can tell she want it. Want me to push up on it. For she know where I'm all on it. We get the party going. Liquor flowing. This is fire. 50 in Jeremiah. Number one. There's nothing higher. I'm going to say push it.
Down on me.
Oh, right. Okay.
Pat?
The offer? Or no, the down on me. Anyway, I want to go eyebrow meat.
Eyebrow meat.
Oh, I like that a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is great.
Get it, get it. I see you, baby.
It's the same song. Okay, I know you're looking like you're confused.
In panic, okay, yeah.
All right, here we go. Girl.
Oh, God. Who does that?
Rihanna. What's wrong with you?
Rihanna. Oh, that's a girl.
Your top lip.
My top lip. Okay. Eh. Yeah, it's going to be hard when you pronounce things now.
All right. 203-882-9757 if you want to call in and pick the spot.
I'm like a human clothesline right here. Ooh. I taste wood. Do we have any non-dance club songs?
I'm more than just an option.
Hey, hey, hey.
Refuse to be forgotten.
Refuse to be forgotten.
Yelling the words.
No.
Oh, what is it?
It's Bedrock.
Bedrock? Like the Flintstones?
Yeah. Mm.
Great. Bedrock.
Wait, hold on. I may have changed it.
Yeah, so you got here. You would know.
It's Find Your Love.
Find Your Love. So what happens?
Yeah.
I still
get
it.
You get another clothespin.
Oh, where?
The other side of your mouth. Upper lip.
Hey.
Very good.
I look like a walrus. Hello.
Jason Derulo. Everybody's looking for love. Oh. Ain't that the reason you're at this club?
Oh. At the club.
He was thinking.
At the club.
He was thinking, and the clothespin on his eyebrow went up.
It's waving hello. Hello.
Is it at the club?
No, it's in my head.
Where? Okay, where are my head is going?
Definitely on your head somewhere.
Sheffield.
John in Wallingford.
Yeah, how about the very tip of the nose?
Oh, yeah, that's available.
That was big enough.
It's available.
Oh, there we go.
That's a good card.
I was going to leave a mark. I know it.
So he's got one in the middle of his nose, in the nostrils. He's got one on each side of his upper lip. He's got one on his right eyebrow.
Well,
and
that one's
one
very
on the
active.
Tip of his nose.
I'm singing for a right-hand turn.
Where'd the hand one go?
Yeah.
Oh, so there. Okay.
Yeah. The ones on my face hurt worse than the one on my hand right now.
Here we go.
Go to this one.
Hello, hello, baby, you called, I can't hear a thing. I have got no service in the club, you say.
In a club!
Stop guessing that.
No, telephone.
Telephone, damn it.
Lady Gaga. Dave in Westport.
Lady Gaga, yes.
How are you? AJ, I don't hate you, but this has got to go on the very tip of your tongue.
Yeah!
Ah, yeah!
How the hell?
Shut up.
I can feel the pain now.
Hey.
It's going on still. That's so wild.
I love the eyebrows. We got to do more eyebrows.
Yeah.
All right. Call in 203-882-9757 if you want to pick the spot the next clothespin goes. But you never know. AJ might go on a tear right now and then just not get any wrong. Songs from 2010.
Come on. This was everywhere.
It was in television commercials.
It was everything. Every dumb show, every reality show, everything.
I'm not surprised, not everything lasts. I've broken my heart so many times, I stopped keeping track.
Broken heart.
Sorry?
Broken heart.
What's that?
He's saying broken heart.
Broken heart.
Broken heart.
I just wanted him to talk more. I can't understand you.
Heart.
Say it slower.
Broken heart.
Hey. No, it's called Haven't Met You Yet.
Yeah.
Buble. You don't know Buble.
I go up, then I let myself down.
Phil, what do you think?
All right on the flap of skin under your left eye.
Is there a flap? Well, the bag, I guess. I don't know.
Bottom eyelid?
It's not that great.
Left eye. There you go.
I'm not punching my left eye.
No!
Nice!
You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 clothespins attached to your face right now. The seventh one just won't stay. But it had the short time that it was there, it left a hell of a mark.
I can tell.
You're welcome. I think it's an improvement in that area.
You just need to find a place for that seventh.
All right.
Can I pick again?
Yes.
All right. The little giblet under your chin.
Oh, giblet.
The giblet.
The gravy maker. There you go.
Yeah.
That seems fun. That clothespin just said, I'm not doing this.
There's a lot of drool coming out of him right
The clothespin exploded.
That's his fumble maker, and it broke it.
203-882-9757 if you want to pick the next spot. Of course, AJ could go on a tear. We're going to switch ears now.
Oh, nice.
We're going to go to pop hits of 2015.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. You go high note right now.
It's been a long day.
A long day.
No.
It's a long day?
See you again.
Yeah. Oh, one line away, and you're right there.
All right. Where's he going?
Shannon and Granby.
Yes.
Got to pick a spot for the next clothespin.
Okay. Do we already have the tongue?
Yeah.
There's one on the tongue, two so on the upper lip, nothing on the lower lip, his left eyebrows available. And of course, all these eyebrows could take more than one.
Yeah, and so can the tongue.
Okay, and we have the nose.
Yeah.
There's one on the tip of the nose.
Tip of the nose and in between the nostrils.
I think he could fit another couple on the nose.
I don't know. My nose is too big.
Well, he's got to be able to breathe, too. Maybe we can. How about the eyelid? Is that too evil?
Yeah, you got
cancer. That's cool.
I ain't gonna grow.
You try.
I ain't gonna grow.
Try.
Okay.
AJ's now making up rules. I ain't gonna try. Where would you like it, Shannon?
All right, so if we can't do the eyelid, then I guess we'll do the eyebrow.
Thank you.
All right, the other eyebrow. Okay. There it is.
Yeah, that's freaky. You're like windshield wipers.
Thank you, Shannon.
I know what I did. What the hell is it?
What do you mean?
What do you?
What?
What do you? What do you? Me?
You can't help him. Yeah. What are you doing?
What are you doing? What the hell? What are you doing? Are you
it was what the four words said.
Yeah, no, your first answer was, what do you? And that is not the answer.
No.
The song is called, What Do You Mean?
Oh.
Which means you get another clothespin. Emma in Wallingford, you get to pick the location.
How about the other side of his mouth?
The other
he has one on the lip, and it looks like he has one on the right side, but how about the left side?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
There he is.
I
made a noise.
I think he got an overgrown mustache. By the way, we don't pick these. AJ picks them. He has picked this game.
I didn't know you got
this.
So
this challenge is picked by him.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's slurping.
Because I'm trying to down here.
You sound like John Merrick in The Elephant Man.
I'm not the animal. I'm a human being.
Boston John. All right, hold on.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, just hold right there. Hold it.
Yeah.
Hold it. Here we go.
Thank you.
Take away your things and go. You can't take back what you said.
How about take back what you said?
No. It's called Same Old Love.
Oh, how about that song sucks?
All right, Boston John.
Does he have any on his earlobes?
No,
because he's got headphones on. But we can move one ear.
I guess. Well, all right, then. I guess we're going to just have to go with an eyebrow again.
All right, another eyebrow.
It's not a bad pick.
No, because there's lots of room up there.
Yeah, a lot of meat.
As they layer, it stretches out more. I think the skin gets more sensitive.
You know what's funny? His face may be permanently deformed after this.
That is funny.
It's hysterical.
I love it. That's great.
I love you guys.
Love you too. Thank you.
You look like when a dog tries to sniff a porcupine.
We're doing Stunt or Stupid. It's the musical clothespin chaos challenge. Every time AJ gets a song wrong, we put a pin on his face. You pick where it goes.
Here's
the next song.
I found myself dreaming in silver and gold, like a scene from a movie that every broken heart knows. We were walking on moonlight.
Every broken heart knows.
No. Like I'm going to lose you.
Oh, I'm going to lose it in a second.
You have a broken nose now.
Should we end this?
Where's this one going?
All right. Dave in Wallingford.
All right. How about the skin inside your, like, inner bicep?
Yeah, we haven't worked the body. He's rolling up a sleeve.
He's grabbing it. Oh, that doesn't look comfortable.
No. That looks real pinchy. Yeah, I don't like that.
Am I the only one having a good time right now?
Yes.
Oh, I'm having a blast.
Isn't this awesome? Yeah. It's like, this is great.
If you want me to function the rest of the show.
He's pinchy.
That's the other part about this bit. You have to wear them the whole show.
No.
All right, you want to release the pins?
Yes.
Okay, jump up and down. See if you could release them by jumping. Wow. They're not coming off.
You can't jump and fall.
Can you shake your head left and right and get some off? No? Take your headphones off of them. Really shake hard.
Yeah. Get the stress away. There you go.
You can't get those off?
Right? No. Big hair day.
That's as fast as you can shake your head?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, you want to remove the pins?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, that was a pound of drool.
It was so much drool.
Yeah, it was like a kite string.
There's a dent on my tongue.
Oh, jeez.
It's a love song.
Third pin coming off.
Is that blood?
He's going for the lips first. He got the tongue off first, then the lips. Now he's going for it. I'm guessing he's doing this in order of pain. I know, your face is like...
His eyebrows are still squeezed in. It's like silly putty.
That's great. All right. Look at the camera. Look at the camera. Okay.
Get your hand one.
I forgot about this one. dude. I need a block of ice in my face.
Yeah. Nice.
Hey, how you do? Good?
Yeah. It's one of those stories I saw over the weekend that just grabbed me by the heart immediately. A family searching for its dog after the car stolen.
Yeah.
And the dog was in it. On the phone right now is John. How do I pronounce your last name? Belmare?
It's Jeff Belmare.
Belmare.
Jeff Belmare.
Yep.
Sorry, man.
Thank you, Chaz. I appreciate it.
Any news?
Actually, yeah. I was on my way to work, and the Middletown PD called my wife. There was a sighting at on High Street in Middletown on the Wesleyan side. And so I had already called my boss and let him know, hey, you know, I'm going to work a different shift today. And I'm on my way there now. And then as I was driving, they called back with a more specific area, the Mansfield Terrace area.
Okay.
So I'm actually on Washington Street in Middletown now, heading that way.
Awesome. So yeah. I won't keep you too long. Just tell us what happened.
No, that's fine. Well, I drive for a food delivery company, you know, part-time, make some extra money. And Saturday night, you know, I decided, I'll take this one more delivery, and then I'm going to head home. And I picked up the food. I got to the location. And, you know, usually that time of night, I'm trying to be really extra cautious. And I got distracted somehow. I want to say that the dog barked at somebody else pulling into or walking into the restaurant that was across the street from where I was, you know, so I didn't think, and, you know, totally on me, I didn't shut my car off, and I walked over to the door across the street of this apartment building to drop off the bag of the food, and I was checking my phone to mark it delivered, and all of a sudden I heard Luna bark aggressively and, you know, like scared and aggressive, which is not something she normally does, and I turned around and saw someone, you know, driving off in my car,
Yikes.
You know, I'm.
That has to be the worst feeling.
And, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm a bigger guy, so running is not my forte. I ended up having to call. You know, I stopped. I called 911. Sorry. I have my GPS on them. Didn't know where the street was. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I called the police. They came. I called OnStar, and they were, you know, they worked with the police department. You know, they found the car and had it, immobilized. And then, the cop told me the dog wasn't in the car, but, you know, on the good note, she got a good bite on him.
Oh, good.
I knew you'd like that, AJ.
Oh, yeah.
Once I got the car moving again, I headed back to the area. My brother came out, and my wife immediately posted it online. Then the doggy daycare that we take her to, one of the girls that works there lives in Middletown, and they know someone with the Connecticut Doggone Recovery Group. They put us in contact. They made us a poster. My wife posted it online. The people from the daycare actually who live in Middletown were out driving around at 1:30 in the morning helping me look.
Wow.
My brother and I just started driving around, and we were asking everybody we saw. Somebody said they thought they saw a dog, you know, at a certain area. About 4 o'clock in the morning, it was a little too much. I was getting too tired, and I went home, got a couple hours sleep. We were out there from about 8:30 till 8:30 last night looking, because we had gotten a call that she had been seen on the walking trail on Long Lane.
There's pictures of her all over the news, and we have one on our Facebook page if folks are listening and they're in that area and they want to kind of take a look and see what she looks
absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely. I mean, the boots on the ground is the greatest thing. I mean, she's a grayish brown, but she has like a Batman cross on her chest. She's got a white patch on her chest that's shaped like a kind of like a bat.
Right.
So, that's her identifying mark.
Will she come if a stranger calls out her name?
No, she's always been a little mischievous and defiant. So she's, even with us, when we call her name, she gives us that look like, I'll come when I'm ready type of thing. But I think, with the stranger, all of that happening, she's probably very scared and weary of strangers right now.
Yeah.
She is very food motivated. So, if anybody does come out, I would suggest having some treats and just getting down low and gently.
Right. Offer her. How in the world were you able to deliver food and leave other orders in the car?
Right.
With Luna in the car.
Seriously.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can't open
I mean, like, on other days.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you come back and it's like, I thought there were four cheeseburgers here.
Right.
Because I'm food motivated, too. I would have eaten it.
My trunk is set up for a delivery, it's a store.
Got it. Okay.
I have a barrier that I put up in between the back seat and the trunk so she can't crawl back there. But,
They arrested the guy that stole your car, right? Did they get him?
Yes. Oh, yeah, they got him.
Okay, got a mugshot and everything.
Yep. Yeah. The Middletown police was just phenomenal. They've been incredibly compassionate and communicative. And in fact, there were a couple of them as they were on their shift. When we were walking around yesterday, we saw them. Middletown Animal Control. There was a fire guy doing some stuff in the area. And then just, regular citizens. Like, people were, when I was stopped and I was just resting for a minute, people would be like, hey, are you out looking for that dog? I'm like, well, yeah, it was my dog. And, God bless you. And, people.
People have been great.
I can be somewhat cynical, but, this is really, show me that there's still a lot of, good people left in the world.
Is she wearing a collar at all?
She has her collar on. I had her harness on, and I had her tags on the harness, and I forgot to switch them over before I took her to work with me.
So she's wearing that right now.
Yeah, she has a collar on, but none of her tags. I mean, just so people know, I mean, her rabies is up to date. She is licensed.
Right.
You know, it was just I forgot to switch the tags over from one collar to the other. Oop, here's the street.
But it makes it easier to find her also to grab her.
Yeah, that's the she said it's a white collar, white and pink collar with flowers.
Okay.
With flowers on it, so you know, that's what she had on. I had the leash with me in the car. Obviously, I don't keep it on her. Cause
well, if you see a dog with what you think is a light red, still go for it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Something like, we'll I don't see flowers on this red.
We'll sort it out later.
Yeah, we'll sort it out later.
Yeah.
Any stray dog you see wandering around Middletown, the Wesleyan area, give a call into the Middletown PD.
I thought it was interesting they put Pitbull in the description of the headline of one of the stories I've read. The Pitbulls get such a bad rap. Like, if this was a poodle, they'd never write part poodle.
No.
Poodle, right.
You know?
Yeah, like, why do you gotta do that?
It's the sensationalism of journalism nowadays, but, you know, she's not... The funny part is she is 50% pit, but
she looks like a cutie.
You know, she is a sweet girl. She looks much more golden retriever, but with the pit bull coat and coloration, you know, she doesn't just, you know, she's very protective of my daughter and you know, but she's a sweetheart.
How's your daughter taking all this?
Yeah.
That's probably a stupid question. Yeah. Very difficult time.
No. It's not a stupid question. I mean, you know, she's very, at the moment, she's kind of numb, you know, and she's just, it's her best friend. It's her, you know, it's her comfort. The dog has, you know, they put emotional, she's not a registered emotional support animal. She is an emotional support animal for her, though.
Yeah.
You know, the dog understands. Like, if my daughter's upset, you know, she'll nudge her to put her hand on her, or she'll lay on her side to rub the belly, you know. And she understands that. She knows. It's like, even if Brooklyn isn't visibly showing emotion or something like that, the dog knows if there's something not quite right, and she just goes and lays on her.
They can sense,
you know, she has, exactly, you know, and that's the beauty of dogs, you know.
Yeah.
They don't judge. They just love, you know, and that's why... You know, it's like having another child, you know, and it's...
No doubt.
It is.
You know,
so you're approaching the street now that she was last seen on, or maybe...
Yeah, I just actually parked. So as soon as I'm done, I'm gonna.
All right, let me let you go so you can do what's...
Go look.
I appreciate it, guys. Any other sightings, continue to call them into the Middletown PD or Animal Control or the phone number on the flyer. You know, and we really appreciate all the support. And, you know, you guys are awesome for doing this. I know you guys do this for a lot of stuff. So, I mean, you know, there's a reason you guys are on the air for so long.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Keep us posted. Yeah, anything please. We could do, we're here.
I will.
Good please. Luck, man.
I will text. I have Ruth's the cell phone number Ruth called me on. So any news, I'll text that number and you guys can update it if needed.
Awesome.
Fingers crossed,
Jeff
man.
Jeff Belmar. Thank you. Good
Thanks,
luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
Best
you.
Of luck.
Thanks, guys. Have a great
day. Yeah, you too.
Thanks. Have a great day.
All right. We got some good news. We were talking to our buddy, what was it, Jeff?
Jeff Belmar.
Yeah. And he was out delivering food over the weekend and had his dog Luna in the car. And he hopped out of the car and the car was stolen. And police eventually tracked down the car and the suspect. But the dog was let go by the suspect, apparently.
Yeah.
And we were just talking to him, and, you know, the family's heartbroken.
Yeah. It's a baby.
And he had some new information as he was talking to us, and he was on his way to an area where they thought the dog was last seen. What's the update?
I just got a text from Jeff. Thanks to call and tips to the Middletown PD, we have recovered Luna.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah, right.
She's wet and scared and smells like she met a skunk, but otherwise okay.
you know. Those lost week,
this is the best.
Those
news.
Lost weekends, it happens all the time.
That is great news.
Awesome. Love to hear it.
Yay.
So good. Congrats, Jeff.
And good luck with that skunk smell. But you know what? You'll take it.
Yes, exactly.
You'll take it.
Exactly. She's home, she's healthy, and she's safe.
Yeah. Good. All right. Referee shortage causes problems for fall sports in Connecticut.
Wow.
Why do you think we have a referee problem?
Because folks are jerks.
Yeah. Because everybody yells at them.
Basically it.
Yep.
While fall sports are underway, referee crews across the state are under staff shortages have caused several games to be under-officiated, rescheduled, or even canceled.
Oh.
Referees across Connecticut are blowing their final whistle. Oh, I love it when they...
Ha! Ha!
You gotta be cute.
Ha! Yep.
They say it's not due to lack of money. It's a lack of sportsmanship across all sports.
Mm.
Quote, it takes a lot to be a referee, to be honest with you, especially when you're dealing with parents.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's Peter Palomino, Connecticut International Association of Approved Basketball Officials.
It's a long title.
It is.
According to Palomino, some arguments have escalated. Quote, in some cases, there's been physical contact and incidents across the country.
No good.
Yeah, folks, mm-hmm. relax.
No good.
Trust me, your kid's not going to, that's not your retirement fund.
And those videos go viral now, so people want to scream at a ref to cause a thing to be on YouTube or whatever. So yes. It makes it
World
dumber.
Star.
Yeah. I hate it.
Yep.
He's been seeing a shortage in referees in Connecticut, a state that offers nearly $100 a game for most sports.
$100 a game, huh?
We're in the top three in the United States in terms of what we pay a ref
really
per game.
Nice. We need refs who are like jacked with like a, you know, like, you know, with a bad attitude.
Well, we just can't find them anymore.
Yeah. Man.
We need refs that, you know, can deal with weirdos, but also know the game inside and out.
We give them tasers.
Can pay attention.
We should give them tasers.
It was a cool job as a kid. I did it as when I was in 7th and 8th grade, and they did the younger kids' baseball games and stuff. And you get a couple bucks, but moms would yell at you. It was weird. You're like, I'm 13. Don't yell at me. I'm just trying to call strikes.
I just like the shirts.
Right.
Jose Sandoval is an assigner for the U.S. Soccer Federation. He says three officials is the standard for high school games, but... they've gone on and done games. Sometimes it's two, and sometimes they have to cancel.
Oh,
jeez.
Yay.
That's really devastating.
Yeah.
That's especially sad.
Yeah, let the parents ref then, since they're so good at it. And you,
oh,
you
that's
ahead.
Just the worst.
You go ahead.
Why play
it.
Then?
Well, no, well, then they'll see when everybody else is yelling and screaming at them how it feels. Maybe they'll shout
out. You know how bad the calls would be?
Didn't some place do that where they, like, you know, like they take that person and make them ref so you got an idea what it's like?
I think that's true.
Yeah. It's a great idea.
I think someone told us that.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
But it's not for, like, their kids' game.
Yeah.
It's like they go into a whole other district or something.
Right.
But still, now you have a moron reffing a game.
Right. Yeah, but teach them a lesson.
Morons don't learn.
This is true.
Yeah, $100 now is not a lot of money to get yelled at by parents and by kids that are playing the sport.
You could DoorDash for a day and make that.
You can almost go to the Nordic Lodge.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you DoorDash for $100?
I think you make $100, right?
In a day?
Tips, yeah, I would think.
How long is a game? Like 2 or 3 hours?
I don't know about that.
They seem longer.
I would say two.
They seem longer, but yeah.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, if it's soccer, I don't know. It might be 2.5.
No idea.
Depends on how bad the ref is.
A lot of balls being kicked. Right. We've been playing for 7 hours. The kids are falling down.
Depends on how fast the kids run.
Right.
Yeah. Chaz and AJ.
Yeah, I just turned on so that they're talking about youth officials and high school refs.
Yeah, you're on. You're on.
It's us.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, how you doing? Yeah, I'm actually a high school ref. I'm in my 8th season of reffing.
Poor thing.
I also coached high school soccer and baseball for 15 years. And I will tell you, it's amazing how different you naturally look at the match from a coach's perspective and an official's perspective. I've coached and I would see 39 fouls against my team every game. But when you're in the middle and you're watching the match as the official, I'll blow the whistle 3 or 4 times. It truly is amazing. And as far as getting people to understand what it's like, I actually had my son, who's now playing Division III soccer, ref at the local rec leagues at the U8, U10, U13 level. So he would know what it's like to be an official. So when it came to his complaining, he wouldn't do it because he knows what it feels to be like on the other side.
I was like scared straight.
A little bit.
Okay.
So, and
run
I will say, as bad as some of the high school parents are, the U8 and U10 parents are so much worse. They think it's the World Cup at 10 years old.
Run this by me again. So if you're coaching a team, you see, what, 30 or 40 violations? And if you're a ref, you blow your whistle two or three times?
Because it's just that emotion of it. When you're wearing the black or the white, you're only looking at what's happening to your team. But when you're that neutral party, I mean, seriously, my first match, I remember coming off the field and telling my brother officials that I blew the whistle five times, and I think three of them were offside, so only two of them were fouled. It truly is amazing how different you watch the match when you're a coach or a parent versus being the official.
That is interesting.
I wish, and I've met some people that have been on one side and are now on the other side, whether they went from officiating to coaching or vice versa. And it is truly different. And then obviously when you have invested emotions of your own child being tackled, I mean, I had a parent say to me, they can't do that. I said, you're talking about, that was my own son that got knocked down and that wasn't a foul. It's things like that, that when you're looking at your team, you definitely look at it different.
It was great having a pet.
There is definitely a shortage of officials. I mean, the board I'm on, and we cover everything for the high school. I'm based out of Waterbury, and we go all the way up to Kent and Hotchkiss up in Lakeville, down to like biggest area. We're probably short 20 to 30 officials. And as much as you do get the whining parents, and you say $100 isn't much, but when you're there for about 90 minutes to 2 hours, where else are you going to get a part-time job that's paying you $40 to $50 an hour?
Yeah, that's true. That's the only time you have to be there? You don't have to get there early?
Yeah, you get there half an hour before the match, and they want you on the field 15 minutes before the match.
That's not terrible.
So, for example, if Naugatuck is playing Watertown, I'm going to meet in the Naugatuck parking lot, talk to my other official. We'll see, okay, who had this match? Oh, I had Naugatuck 2 weeks ago. Okay, I had Watertown a week ago. So we know what's going on. We know what players to watch for. We discuss what we're going to do, pick the colors.
You know what players to watch for.
Oh, it is not a secret.
Oh,
scummy kids.
You'll know who to watch for on both sides. You'll know who to watch for as, I mean, the troublemaker player, and you'll also know who's the star of the area. I mean, when you have a player that's good, the name is known in the area, and so you're going to get those. But there's also times where I don't want to know the numbers. I mean, I had a game; it was a JV match, and one coach came over to me and said, "Hey, this kid transferred from this school to that school, and they were playing against each other. And just can you keep eye his number is?" And I said, "I don't want to know his number because I didn't want to give him special attention, whether it be looking for it or trying to not see it." And I've had the same thing when I would go watch my son last year. He was the keeper for a high school, but other players would say, "Oh, what number is your son?" Or even my son when he was playing in middle school, and he's like, "I don't want to know the number because I'm a ref." They didn't want to give my kid special attention, whether not given a card or given a card.
Have you ever had a family member meet you out in the parking lot?
I have been escorted off the field before.
Oh, really?
I have had not anything that is like, not because I gave a card out, but I did a state tournament game, I'll just say, at a local high school, and it was a very heavy match. I mean, played physically, but not dirty. And the athletic directors, you will usually walk the officials out if it's that heated of a match. I mean, you're talking state tournaments, quarterfinals, stuff like that.
Yeah, and passions.
It's a one goal game. So yeah, there are times when you will be escorted out. Not because you need to be, but just
as a precaution.
Right.
Wow.
You walk out.
I mean, I've never had an issue where I felt my safety was at risk. But obviously we've all heard the horror stories.
Have you ever had to throw a parent out?
I personally have not. I have had other officials I've worked with throw them out. And usually it's just because they're whining, not because they've gotten violent.
Right.
I usually just I ignore the officials or the parents when they're arguing. I mean, you're going to hear everything. I mean, that's like when you hear these athletes saying that, they don't hear anything. They block it all out. No, you hear everything. You just learn how to not. And when I coached high school baseball, I'd be coaching third base. And I mean, I'd hear a parent say, "Oh, you got to move the runner." And I would do the hit and run, not because he said it, but because I wanted to do it. And they're like, "Oh, not hit and run." It's not like you don't. You hear it, you just learn to block it out. I mean, every time you blow the whistle, you're going to hear a boo in your left ear and a cheer in your right ear.
So I would say being married helps.
Yeah, it's good training.
Right. That was a joke.
Yeah,
but
that's
like blocking listening, right. But the ability to block it out seems important.
You see lips move, you have no idea what to say.
Right. Just like what these guys did to me. We're all kind of married. They just kind of blocked me out right there.
Well, that really made me think about my divorce, so thanks.
Well, thanks for calling, and thanks for what you're doing. And you know, this won't be the last time we talk about this, especially now that there's a shortage.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually a Facebook page called Offsides that it's a guy that put this stuff out, and he puts, like, a lot of the horror stories on what you hear about, especially youth officials. I mean, it happens across the board. I mean, obviously, you don't see the violence on the professional level because there's much more to lose at that level, but you see it across the board, the horror stories. I mean, guys that strategically park their car so they have a getaway. And, I mean, it's sad that you have to think about stuff like
that. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I see it in dumbass news all the time.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah. Where are we going, people?
Seriously. Yeah. Time to get a grip.
Yeah. Let's get a grip.
Yep.
Says the guys who are yelling at everybody on the radio.
That's different!
A lot of things that come into play with argument are parents that think they know the rules don't know the rules. And with that said, like, high school soccer has a couple slightly different rules from what you see in, like, FIFA or the World Cup. And they'll argue that, oh, this isn't that or that's this. I mean, so, for example, everyone knows a handball. You can't use your hand in soccer.
Right.
But at the high school level, regardless of gender, if the athlete reacts to protect their groin, their chest, or their face, it is not a handball. If it is a reactive movement to protect themselves.
Right.
Now, if they play it and they kind of volleyball the ball over and play it, now that's a handball. But if they literally just put their hands up and protect face, chest, or groin, regardless of gender, it is not a handball. But the amount of times that you hear parents and even players yelling, oh, that's a handball, they don't realize that the National Federation of High School Sports rule is that's not a handball.
In
but
high
they
school?
Want to yell at you.
Right. Well, it's a little bit like watching a professional game when you see someone like the quarterback just get touched with a finger.
Right.
Then they go, ah!
Right.
On the ground!
The cart's out.
The big flop.
They're hoping that the ref just sees a fraction of it and calls it, you know.
Aaron Rodgers?
The punters know how to do that.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Listen, thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Be safe.
No problem.
Yeah, don't be a stranger.
It. Yeah.
Couple awarded $1,400 compensation after moving seats due to farting dog. A New Zealand couple who got blasted with smelly gas from a fellow four-legged passenger on a flight.
That's part of the charm.
Got compensated for their troubles months after it happened.
No, please, people.
Who are you with now? You're with the...
I'm with the dog.
You're with the airline? The dog wasn't a defendant.
It's a dog. It's a dog. You want your money back.
It's either you're siding with the airlines or you're siding with these people.
Okay, so I'm siding with the airline. It's like, people get a grip. Okay, you want your money back because the dog's farting. How do we know it was a dog? How do we know it wasn't you?
Gil told the insider that she and her husband, Wayne Press, were awarded about $1,400 in compensation from Singapore Airlines after they complained that they were forced to let go of their premium seats and they had to sit back in economy due to a loud farting dog that belonged to a passenger seated next to them.
No,
I get it.
No, dog paid for his ticket too, so you don't.
No, you paid for first class. You're not going to get. You don't want gas for your first class. You know what I mean? You want that goes in the back.
Smelly gas. I like that they added that word.
Yeah, I suppose like your Febreze gas.
Kind.
Right. Oh, smells like potpourri in here.
Press said that they were on a 13-hour flight from Paris to Singapore.
It was
13 hours.
Yeah, that's way too long to be in a plane.
With a dog, too. It's way too long.
Yeah, seriously.
In June, and that had not been aware that the passenger seated next to them had a canine companion, she told the outlet that the trouble began after their dinner service when they heard something weird. Quote, I heard this noise, a heavy snorting. I thought it was my husband's phone, but we looked down and realized it was the dog breathing.
Oh.
However, she said it got much worse when the dog, which appeared to be a bulldog mix, began loudly farting as well.
Oh, bulldogs blast. Friend of mine has one. That dog's pull my finger. Yep.
The passenger couldn't have the...
It's the truth. They phone a lot.
You're such a rube. It's great.
The passenger couldn't have the dog out in the aisle because they wouldn't be able to get that trolley up and down. So I had to come further in, which meant his head was under my husband's seat.
Dog's name was Gaseous Clay.
Hey.
My husband was in shorts and was getting the dog's saliva goo on his legs.
Saliva goo.
All part of the, you know, the dog experience.
Nah, I pay first class. I don't want saliva goo on
my
legs.
I don't want a dog head under my feet. No. None of that. I paid for the ticket.
I'd rather have a dog than a passenger who's like, you know, like leaning over into my seat.
Yeah, that's peasant stuff. That's not first class stuff.
Good
in the bag.
Good heavens. Peasant. I'm the elite.
Trash, get back there.
She says she complained to a flight attendant and told them, and she was told that the only seats they had available were in economy, so they moved to economy.
I'm more worried about the duct tape on the plane wing.
And then these people wanted the difference between the seats refunded.
Right.
And the airline said, we'll give you $73.
Oh, there you go, see.
And they're like, good.
That's fart tax.
Right.
Why is it always that person that has to get moved? Why can't the person causing the problem
be the
one that's moved? Yeah.
Right. You go back to economy.
Hey,
with
you
your
clearly
dog.
Don't fit in the space that we have provided for you. Yeah. Get back there.
Yeah.
The entire time you're reading the story, Ruth has been playing with her whoopee cushion in the monkey cage.
Oh. Sure.
She's trying to buy sound effects for you. a little sound booth over there. That is whoopee cushion, right? Not you, right? Okay.
All right.
Making sure.
Impressive either way.
Yes.
After several months of back and forth, Singapore Airlines finally gave the couple a refund worth the price difference of the seats.
Nice.
Which was about $587 each.
Hmm. Where'd they feed the dog? It's not going to hurt.
It's too wet.
Yeah. Now squeeze the cushion. Now squeeze the cushion, Ruth.
Nah, I know I'm going to get hammered for this. I always do when I say it. But if I go to a restaurant and there's a dog there, that's fine. But if I go to a really nice restaurant and there's a dog there and it's like all over the place, right. And like, I'm like, this isn't fine.
Right. What if he's buying?
Dogs or kids. I'm sorry.
Then I'm good.
There fancy go. Place.
The dog's buying, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't come here to have the new zoo review. Like, I'm here to have a steak dinner.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay, great.
Yep.
What's next? The monkey?
This is
my emotional monkey.
Right.
That is what's next. A monkey.
He just threw an eclair at me.
I want a monkey there. Just throw it. Oh, yeah. That's great.
A little monkey suit.
You buy these stupid little vests on. You know what's funny? You don't even have to buy them now. You used to have to buy them.
Yeah.
Like the dog used to have a vest.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm an official.
Certified. Yeah.
Yeah. Now they don't even need a vest. You just bring them anywhere.
No proof.
We saw a guy yesterday at Durham Fair had an emotional support animal, but it was a puppet.
What?
It was a puppet.
A puppet?
It was a puppet.
Yeah, puppet.
A puppet.
Not puppy.
An actual puppet.
A puppet.
A puppet. I'm like, how is a puppet?
That's...
When I freak out, I start playing my puppet. I
That's a level of therapy.
Bring me through this. Tell
what
me more.
What was the name?
Okay, yeah. Tell me more.
What did it look like?
We're standing in the PLR tent.
Yes.
In the commercial building. Me and Cammy. And we're
Cammy.
Cammy from promotions. Then all of a sudden, this guy went walking by, and he had a puppet. And on the puppet had a vested emotional support animal. And we're like, how the hell?
All right, so it's a joke, right?
Or is the guy... he was serious.
No.
Yeah. It was emotional support puppet.
And he was controlling the puppet.
Yeah.
How did you not talk to this guy for like an hour?
He walked fast.
Chaz, the puppet, was controlling him.
I was afraid. I was afraid.
My emotional support hand.
Right.
What's the puppet's name? That's all I want to know.
No idea.
Yeah. So I'm there getting audio from some young tribe members.
I love dumbass news.
Dumbass news.
And you have the puppet weirdo walk by, and right. You don't think to have a conversation with
or
him.
A picture?
Walk by really fast.
I'm sorry, but if you're walking around with... Well, then how do you know it said emotional support puppet?
Because I read it as it went by.
You don't stop
actually, I was actually talking with another tribe member who came over, and I remember saying to them, like, do you see that too?
I would have pushed them out of the way. That's puppet time. You got to take a picture.
Yeah, sorry. You got to talk to puppet man.
He should be in studio right now.
What kind of animal was
it looked
the
like a
puppet?
It looked like a sloth.
Wow.
Face yeah. It was like orange in color.
Does anyone know who we're talking about? We'd like to talk to this
person. Can't be more than one person with this.
Who divorced this man recently? Call in.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.